Welcome to Biblical Foundation. This is our third lesson in this series. And the third lesson I want to talk about is the cornerstone. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 21 and down to verse 42. While you get your Bible, I want to just say two things that the terminologies that we are looking at in the King James Bible concerning foundation, master builder, the Holy Ghost being the architect, the Word of God being the blueprint, is terminologies that God has given us in the Word of God so we can have an understanding in a practical sense how we build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ after we got saved or believed and trusted in Him. In Matthew, Mark and Luke are the Synoptic Gospels, and in Matthew I want you to go to verse 42 of Matthew 21 and see what Jesus said. It's important that also as we do these lessons that, as it said, as Paul said to Timothy, he talked about the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, he's talking to the, did ye never read in the scriptures? So that would be your blueprint. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. If you build a house, you need the cornerstone to square things off. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. When you read your Bible in the book of Daniel, Daniel prophesied on Jesus Christ's first advent and also saw the second advent. But there's one thing that Daniel did not see, and that was the Pharisees or the religious people of the day rejecting the cornerstone. Now, the last couple of lessons we've looked at, Paul has made it very clear that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he tells the Corinthians that there's no other foundation that is laid than that which is Jesus Christ, and that they take heed how they build thereon. So the foundation is the Lord. We also look at the form that when in Romans chapter 6 it says that you believe from the heart that form of doctrine, and that form would be the gospel. You do need to learn the gospel, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-6, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And of course, that's important there because the gospel is according to the scriptures. So once again, you look at that fact. Paul also likened himself as a master builder. We also understand that 2 Peter is a very important passage of scripture for you to learn and understand, especially when it comes to the King James Bible, that the Bible is of no private interpretation, just the same as if you were to build a house, the master builder needs to know how to read the blueprint as the architect drew it up. Now, obviously, we know that the architect is the Holy Spirit of God, as I read you here, where Peter clearly said, even though they're on the Mount Transfiguration, he said here, and when they came back down, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, something that's sure. For unto you do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There seems to be a real problem in Christendom today that the art of actually teaching what the Bible teaches has seemed to have gone out the door. Once you move into that area, then you end up into private interpretation. The reason that happens is because the rules of of anything like studying a blueprint is you read your Bible, you need to keep in mind context where that passage is found, either in the chapter, the verse itself, or even in the book. You need to keep in mind comparison of scripture, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it makes it very clear that we compare scripture with scripture. This is important because that way you have the Bible interpreting itself. Conversation, the conversation of who the Word of God is maybe speaking to. The Word of God is all for us, but it might not be to us. That's important. And also consideration. So, of course, when you consider what we're looking at here, a foundation and a blueprint, and you remember Paul himself, he said that he was a pattern in Timothy on to all them that believe hereafter. So Paul himself was a pattern. Now, there's one thing in a Christian life, you need some example of what it is to be a Christian. You need an example to see, to show us. So God does this. So he does that in the way of the life of the Apostle Paul. He also does that in the way that he puts words in the King James Bible that we understand. Now, Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone. He's also called the rock. If you remember in Psalms chapter 40, David said, "He lifted me out of the miry clay after God heard his cry, and he set my feet upon a rock." Jesus Christ is a rock in the Bible, and that's important to remember. Now, when you consider this whole idea of foundation, a foundation is important. Foundation is very important for you as a believer where you started your Christian life. When I got saved, I asked the Lord what he wanted me to do. And he said, "I want you to learn the Word of God." Well, that made a lot of sense. And I think that's what every believer needs to do. They need to learn the Word of God and understand the things that have been freely given to you and understand what it would mean to build upon the foundation we're talking about. Often Christians make the wrong start because they make the wrong start on the wrong foundation. Now, the foundation in your Bible is clearly a person. That's what the Apostle Paul said. The foundation is not a church. It's not a doctrine of a church. It's not of anything of the sort. It is the person of Jesus Christ. The foundation has, like anything, has a form. That's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. That holds the whole thing together. So when you look at here, the fact that in Matthew we have here, they rejected the chief cornerstone. Now, if they rejected the chief cornerstone, then their foundation is not going to be built upon the person of Jesus Christ. Could I get at least an amen from you out of that one? Okay, so let's continue this, continue as we go through this. And just remember that Daniel's prophecies did not see the rejection of Jesus Christ, and understand then that God, understanding that, God gave the revelations of what we call the church age to Paul, and Paul now is showing us now how to build our lives upon that foundation that is laid. So obviously the Holy Ghost then is the architect, as we just read. The Holy Ghost is not going to go against what is written. That's important to remember. If you read in John chapter 14 and John 16 concerning the Comforter, study those verses, get that in your mind, that the Holy Ghost is not going to go contradictory to the Word of God. We know that we understand very clearly that the Father is the source. What do you mean? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, just go to Ephesians chapter 1 with me for a moment. And these verses are important for you to keep in your mind. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says that, the Bible put it this way, that on the Father's mind, on God's mind, let me just turn there quickly for you, and let me read it so there's no mistake in the scriptures, what I'm reading here to you. So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, we'll read it. I want you to hear what the Bible says. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." Now, the Father had us had already chosen us in Jesus Christ. We were already on his mind in Job there of chapter, I think it's chapter 37, where the foundation of the earth was laid. This is important to understand. In the Word of God, the Father is the source of all things. The Holy Ghost seems to be the one who acts. The Bible says that in Genesis 1, he moved, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Son of God is the one who seems to be the one who fulfills Scripture. He fulfills it. Like if you consider this, that if you consider that the Father in heaven sent the Son, the Holy Ghost wrote, had written about it in the Old Testament, and has given it to us clearly in the New Testament. And the Son of God came to fulfill the Word of God. He came to fulfill the Scriptures. So therefore, it's important to understand you cannot separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost from the written Word of God. This is important to keep in mind. Now, obviously, there are other lessons that we would do more clearly on those subjects. So that's just a brief outline of the Father being the source, the Holy Ghost. You could say he is the mediator, or the one that acts or moves, and the Son of God was sent, and he came to fulfill Scripture. Even the Lord himself said, if he wasn't taken to Calvary, how could Scripture be fulfilled? So therefore, the master builder follows the blueprint. So Paul then followed a blueprint, and here's the idea. He followed it concerning the foundation, that's Jesus Christ. Do you remember Paul went down to Arabia? He went down to Arabia for 3 years in Galatians. That's where God had given him the revelation of the New Testament that we understand. Also concerning the cornerstone, we understand that every building needs the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And also concerning about the fact that you as a believer need to build your Christian life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus warned that. He said that in Matthew chapter 7, 24. Let me just read you Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Have a listen to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a listen to what he said. Often it's important not to take too much notice of what pastors say or men of God and all this sort of thing. Rather consider what Jesus Christ himself said. So in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 24, I'll just get over there for you in a moment, Matthew 7 verse 24. I want you to hear what Jesus says here. This is the scriptures are important to understand. So Matthew chapter 7, and then let me just turn over to verse 24. He said this, first of all, he said this: therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So when you consider a rock as being the foundation, and Jesus Christ being that rock, and you build your life upon that foundation, understand that you and I will suffer tribulation and other such things as we go through life, but understand that our life, our spiritual life, is built upon a rock. In verse 26, and he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Well, obviously he's talking there about Israel, and obviously if they rejected the chief cornerstone, they've also rejected the foundation, so the house had a great fall. In verse 13, have a listen to verse 13 of chapter 7. Read your Bible, understand what Jesus said. It's so important. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And the reason that is, you could put in our context, is that they don't understand that the foundation that God sent his Son to die for our sins, that it was his works done on Calvary for us, are the very things that you and I as a believer need to start building our life upon. That's the foundation we are talking about. Now, when it comes to Bible or biblical terms, we've looked at a couple of them. And when you build a house, like any house, you normally have to have something that glues the whole thing together. We would usually call that nails or whatsoever you might use. And it's important to also understand that there are terms now that Christians don't seem to know or understand. These are also words. Now, I'm going to give you a few of the words that you probably need to take time to study and consider. Now, these words are atonement, propitiation, substitution, redemption, ransom, reconciled or reconciliation, and resurrection. Now, as a believer, you need to know these seven words and their meanings. It is like studying a new language, but it's important to understand these terms and these words, because these words are like nails that hold the house together. So if you were looking at a blueprint, you would need to also know how the structure works. Now, in the King James Bible, the structure works by the way of words. And for a believer, the words of your King James Bible, you need to understand, because if you don't understand the meaning of these words and apply them, then you could say that you will start building your house upon the wrong foundation. Remember, the foundation is laid down on a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Paul made it very, very plain to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there's no other foundation that is laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It is important to understand that most Christian religions today have built their faith largely on the wrong foundation, or shifted it, maybe you could say, to maybe the church, away from the person, away from the gospel, away from that foundation which we need to build upon. Now, the first word is atonement. Now, in the Old Testament, the word atonement was found 77 times, because the atonement wasn't made or fulfilled until Jesus Christ came. So in Romans 5:8, so the word atonement is only mentioned once in the New Testament. Remember, we're not building an Old Testament house, we're building a New Testament house. Keep that in mind, it's very important. So in Romans 5 verse 11, the Bible says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." That's Romans 5:11. The word atonement means one-ment with God. And so it's important to remember that word, atonement. Now, the second word also is the word propitiation. These are terms I want you to learn. If you can learn and understand each word and the meaning of them, and then you can apply them to your Christian life, you'll begin to understand what it means to build upon the foundation that has already been laid. The word propitiation simply means appeasement. I'll give you a simple illustration. The wrath of God has to be appeased, or to when someone is angry, you need something that might appease that anger. In the Old Testament, we found out that God required a sacrifice. When you look at Cain and Abel, Abel brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to God and was accepted. Cain, however, brought a sacrifice to God, but it wasn't accepted. In those passages, God did not reject the person, but rejected the sacrifice. Now, in the New Testament, there's one sacrifice that has been made, and that has been made by the Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood at Calvary. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ is a sacrifice, and that's the only sacrifice that God the Father, or God, will receive and accept, as it is the only thing that will appease the wrath of God. So propitiation means to appease. This is important to understand in relationship and also into building the house which we're going to look at. I'm going to read you Romans 3. Now, as a believer, you need to learn and these words, this terminology, so you can understand some things that are very, very important. Now, here's the key before I read this. The reason you need to know each word is so you can understand that you'll be able to occupy the house when it's completed. Most believers live on the outside of the house because they don't understand that they can occupy it, and we'll look at that. So in Romans 3, if you go with me to verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So we all are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, so to be made right, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the person. Whom God have set forth, notice what God has done, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So here is God laying down the foundation. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, whereas boasting then is excluded. So here is the foundation that we're going to build upon. We're not going to build upon our foundation. We're not going to build upon our righteousness or self-righteousness. We're not going to build upon our works or what we might think that pleases God. We're going to look at what God has set forth, and that to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So this here, there, for is the very thing we need. So propitiation means to appease. The Bible says that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that he is not the propitiation of our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So therefore, understanding that the foundation that was laid, for God sent his Son, that this foundation has been laid and it can be laid, and any man or woman can build upon that when they receive Jesus Christ. So that's the idea. Hebrews chapter 9, 26 is another good verse dealing with propitiation. Then the other word is substitution. So in substitution, I'll read you Romans 4, 24, where the Bible says, but for us also to him it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. So Jesus Christ is our substitute. This is also part of the foundation that you and I need to build upon. It is a substitution that was made at Calvary. In other words, God took our place instead of us. So remember those words. Isaiah 53 verse 6, have a look at the story dealing with the prophecy of Jesus Christ. So what we have here is called a substitutionary atonement. So the atonement and substitution go together. If you think of it this way, and if you want the illustration to really make somewhat sense to you, is go to Luke chapter 23 when you have time, to verse 41, and look at the two thieves on the cross. One rejected the substitution that was before him, the other didn't. Notice too that when the one that did receive Jesus Christ as his substitute, that Christ was innocent, taking his place, that God said to him, "Today thou shalt live with me in paradise." The idea then, when you have a substitute like Jesus Christ, that means now you can live with him in glory. It also means that we have a substitute, and that means also now I can build upon this foundation that has been laid, because it's not built upon what I have done, it's what's already been done. It's built upon what has already been laid, and that was the Son of God, who God set forth to be the propitiation of our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not an election, it's a calling upon him. The next one is redemption, the word redemption. It's important to remember the word redemption. The word redemption basically means to purchase. In our case, God buys us back. Because if you went back to the Garden of Eden, man had fellowship with God, he gravitated towards God, and there was fellowship, and Adam and Eve had the crown, and they were there given to rule. When man fell, we lost the crown. We also lost the fellowship that we did have with the Father, because God created us in his image. The word redemption all means to repurchase, to buy back. It's important to understand also that when you purchase something legally, that's where it's your money that you purchase that thing with, that thing becomes yours. It therefore means you're the owner of it. I often use the illustration that when I played golf, and on the fairway when we were practicing and we were shooting our balls down the fairway, I didn't want my balls, golf balls, to get mixed up with the others. So I put three dots on my golf balls so I know that they were mine. So when I went to retrieve them, if I saw the three dots, I'd pick them up because I knew they were mine, and I'd leave the others alone. Well, the Bible says that we are sealed unto the day of redemption in Ephesians 1:13, and God looks at us, the child of God, as his own. Therefore, ownership's important. This is also going to be very important when you consider that we are part of the family of God. This also gives us now an inheritance, a family right, to be able to occupy the house that has been laid. So keep that in mind. And obviously, you can, as you do Bible study, if you take these simple illustrations I'm giving you, you can build upon them and then start to teach others what the foundation is and what glues it together, what the form is, which is the gospel, what the nails are. So we've looked at atonement, it's one nail. Propitiation is another nail. Substitution is another nail. Redemption is another nail. In Hebrews 9:12, the Bible says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." The blood wasn't for Jesus Christ, it was for us, to obtain eternal redemption for us. So the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed is the key. The next word is ransom. There was a ransom that needed to be paid. That ransom is found in Romans 6:23. The price of the ransom was the blood of Jesus Christ. You could say it like this: this purchases the house. Now, if you've ever heard of the word predestination, it's something like this. If I was to get on a train that was going from Brisbane to Sydney, and as soon as I entered that train, I'm now predestined to go from Brisbane to Sydney. Now, here's the thought that I want you to understand. But however, to enter that train, I needed to buy a ticket. And once I got the ticket, a conductor would look at the ticket, and if the ticket was legally paid for and was right, I'm allowed to enter that train. Once I'm on that train, now I'm predestined to go from Brisbane to Sydney. But here's the thought. But the ticket can't be purchased by what we've done. It has to be purchased with the right currency. And the right currency to purchase that ticket was the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we get this ticket by his grace, and then the porter is a picture of the Holy Ghost who recognizes that we have the right ticket, it's been purchased, and we are now allowed to enter into that train, and now we'll go from point A to point B. But I want you to understand something, though. It's up to our free will to receive the ticket that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a price that there's no human price could pay for. It had to come from heaven, and that's why God sent his son. So therefore, once you purchase that ticket, you've asked for it, and God will give it to us by his grace, which he promised in Ephesians chapter 2, where that salvation is by grace, it's not of works which we have done. Have that ticket, I'm now allowed to go to the porter, the Holy Ghost, and he recognizes that, opens the door, we can now enter in to that train, and now we're predestined to go from point A to point B. The same as when you got saved. You might not be in heaven yet, but you are predestined to enter heaven. When the believer enters heaven, we will face the judgment seat of Christ, where we might receive rewards or lose rewards. The unbeliever will face the great white throne judgment and they will lose their soul. So there is a difference. Ransom. Then the next word is reconciled. Now in Romans 8:7, where once we were at enmity with God, now that we've been reconciled, we have peace with God. Reconciliation is important to also to keep in mind. That's another word you need to learn. Now that's the sixth word. Now the seventh word is obviously resurrection. Now the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important, because without the resurrection, everything else I've said is null and void. So in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, who was delivered for our offenses. So he was our substitute. He was the sacrifice that was accepted by the Father, because the only thing that would purchase or take away our sin or give us the right to enter in was the blood of Jesus Christ. And he was raised again for our justification. Now, once you've been justified freely, you don't need to be justified by man. God's justified you. It means he's made you right. That gives me now more opportunity to say that the house that we're looking at, I have a right to enter that house by way of the resurrection. Notice in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, that's you and I as believers, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we have that peace, we now can enter, by whom also we have access. So notice in verse 2, we have access. Now here's the idea. To enter anything, you need access. Jesus Christ himself called himself, I am the door. He is the door. We have access to that door. Notice what he says, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So the word resurrection is important. So as a believer, you need to know these seven words, understand them. And these words are like the nail, the glue that hold the house together. This is also important to understand that now you have a right of purchase to enter this house where now you can occupy and dwell therein. And it all started because there was a foundation that was laid and God was able to build upon this foundation. Now it's important as a believer that you need to start your Christian life on this foundation. Don't worry about future events or prophecies and those things. We'll get to them later. because this is very important, the foundation that you're going to build your Christian life upon. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, "I liken the man who heareth the sayings of mine. He's like a man who built his house upon a rock." It's important also to keep in mind that the rock is a firm foundation. And while we're here still on in this valley, we're not in heaven yet, there are going to be trials and tribulations. The floods will come. But as Jesus Christ said, that house will stand. If you build a house on the wrong foundation, not on the foundation that has been laid as Paul is our master builder, which he's pointed out that we need to do that, then when the trials and tribulations come, our house will fall. The illustration also was given there to Israel that there would be a great fall and that house fell. Now, verse 6, because we have received the deeds of the house, it's up to us then to occupy. What do you mean? Well, that's going to be the next lesson. The next lesson I want to cover is the fact that we have the deeds to the house, and it's going to be up to you and I to occupy that house. So I look forward to doing lesson 4 shortly.